It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 7. So if you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, we'll begin reading there in just a moment. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, if you've had enough time to open your Bibles, we'll begin the study today. Genesis chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his son Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, if that, hopefully that was enough time for you to look it up so that you could follow along, and I hope that it was. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can enjoy the study of your precious word. Please, now that you would guide and lead us, there's much to learn. And for someone that doesn't study the Old Testament, Father, they're really missing a blessing, because they can see the beginning, the creation, see the fall, and see now as something terrible that's going to happen here with the death of Abel. Please, Lord, that you will help us to see exactly what we are to learn through each and every part, whether it's the beginning of your precious word or the end of your precious word. It is your living word. So please now guide and lead us, Lord, as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to come together, and I'm glad that you're with us today as we look at this fourth chapter. We have looked down through the verses, and we've gotten down to verses 4 and 5 is really where we're spending our time. We're going to look just a little bit longer now at Abel and at Cain, at each one of their offerings that they have presented unto the Lord. And the first offering that was presented unto the Lord was Abel's, and he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Cain and his offering, he had no respect, the scripture says. If we'll back up to verse 2, we'll find out that Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground for an offering. Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock. And so Cain is actually the one that brought the offering first of all, it tells us here. And he brought probably the best that he had, but we are told, according to the Word of God, that God had no respect in verse 5. And I kind of underline those things so I can see them a little clearer in my Bible. I hope you don't have a problem with marking in your Bible. It sure helps to study the precious Scripture. I've worn out more Bibles than any other book I've ever owned, because I use them continually and am making little notes and underlining things to help me to learn God's Word. And once again, we have Cain bringing the fruit of the ground, Abel bringing the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof, the scripture says. And also, again, we have that Abel, God had respect for Abel's, in the end of verse 4, had respect for Abel's offering, but Cain, he had no respect. We find that Abel is making no mention of how he looks upon God receiving what he had given, but we are told how Cain receives God's respect, which was not respect, no respect, and Cain was mad. He was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, what's the problem here? Why did God not accept Cain's, and he accepted Abel's? Well, we have spent some time in this already as we have looked at this study, but we're going to continue just a little bit so we can understand it just a little bit better. We need to know that God in His Word set forth to Adam, to Eve. Adam and Eve then in turn passed it on to Abel and to Cain. And Abel listened. He was obedient to the Word of God. Cain was not. That is the reason, we can take it right there, that's the reason that God had no respect for it. There were some things that Abel followed, which was God's will, and that in it, why we have the innocent sacrifice being the firstling of his flock, we had the innocent sacrifice, we have the shedding of blood, we have, again, of necessity, which it this includes it, God's plan. We have to always follow God's plan. We have the shedding of blood. So if I've kind of stumbled over these a little bit, let's go again. It's God's plan. It has to be the death of this animal. This animal has got to be innocent, totally innocent of what has happened here. Is the animal in any way responsible for Abel's sin? No. He is an innocent sacrifice, and that innocent sacrifice must be put to death again and the shedding of his blood. And so these things have to come. And as you look through the Word of God, we found that to be true when it come to putting the coats of skins on in verse 21. And we need to follow this, because this requirement starts here in Genesis, and this picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ begins here and will continue now for some 4,000 years until Jesus Christ comes to the cross. And so they had to bring these offerings and these sacrifices year after year for the purpose of taking away the sin. Now, later on, we'll run into something called the Day of Atonement, and that was something that God gave the nation of Israel, and it was conducted by the high priest, and we'll talk about that later, but once again, it has a beautiful picture, and it met every requirement that God has set forth. And we have to do that. We have to follow God's way when it comes to salvation. If you expect to truly be saved, you have to follow God's way, and God's way is by means of the cross. If you are looking by any other way than to Jesus Christ in His death upon the cross, and coming by faith, not by works, you are condemned already, because you are not trusting in the only means of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ and Him alone. So I cannot stress that enough and tell you that enough. All the way back here, some 6,000 years ago from now, this took place, that almost immediately man decided to try to do something on his own means and his own way by his works. And that's what Cain tried to do here. You see, Cain had no faith. He acknowledged the Creator because he brought the sacrifice, but he saw no need for his sins to be dealt with. He saw no need for a Savior. The only thing he saw was the Creator. And so, you see, he did not believe God's Word. He did not bring this offering. He's much like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the time when the Lord Jesus was here upon the earth. It's much like the liberals of today. They want to take God's Word and change it, and they want to add works to it and everything else, instead of staying directly with the Word of God and recognizing that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not recognizing, they do not want to recognize that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please, that you look to the Word of God. You look to from cover to cover. It tells us about the Lord Jesus, and here we have a wonderful picture of what Abel listened to God's word through his father Adam and brought the proper offering and the proper sacrifice. Cain did not. He brought something from the land, so he didn't listen. But the ultimate, the problem here is there is no shedding of blood. And we have the shedding of blood from the beginning with the first offering and sacrifice that was given for Adam and Eve, and that must continue, and that picture must come all the way till we get to the cross of Calvary, till the one, the only one that was perfect, could die on the cross, could take away our sin, and could do that wonderful work. And only Jesus, the Son of God, completely man, completely God, and completely perfect, only he could take our sin away. We must come by faith to him. We must trust in him. And only upon the Holy Spirit touching your heart and pulling you to him can you even make a decision to come to the Lord Jesus. Pour over God's word that the Holy Spirit can draw you to him. We need to understand clearly it's not by any other means. It must be God's way. You see, we must put God first. We must abide by the way he wants things done. And Abel did, Cain did not. Now, we need to, again, let's just take a minute and see what the difference is here. God, for our salvation, Abel abided by this, Cain did not. Must be God's plan. It's God's work and gift. So it's God's plan. We must have the innocent substitute. And that innocent substitute must be perfect, and as much as perfect can be, with a lamb without blemish. When we come to this Day of Atonement that I spoke of, he will take two goats, and they were again to be perfect, without blemish, without scars. They couldn't be lame in any way. They must be perfect. There must be the shedding of blood, and also the shedding of blood and resulting in death. All those things started here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And you see that never ends. That comes all the way to the cross of Calvary. No longer do we have to give the picture because Jesus has finished the work. Abel, in the fourth verse, Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. He met all the requirements that God had set forth. He met all the requirements. Abel is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, when the Lord Jesus came to the cross of Calvary, he was the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice, and he did it his Father's way. Abel did it the way Adam asked him to do it. Adam told him the way God wanted it done, and Abel followed. In our case here with the Lord Jesus Christ, he met every condition. He followed his Father's will. Abel followed the Father's will. Cain did not. Cain didn't follow God's will. Cain did not follow Adam's will. He did it his own way. And boy, our churches today are full of people that are doing it their own way. And the result is exactly what happened to Cain. He became angry, and he couldn't understand why God did not accept it. It wasn't God's problem, it was Cain's problem, because Cain was disobedient. If you want God's blessing, if you want God's power, you come by faith to Jesus Christ, and by faith alone unto him. And once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes into your heart, it's going to be a wonderful day, a glorious day. Please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus Christ today. Abel was rejected, and he was put to death. Jesus Christ was rejected and was put to death. Abel here is the first shepherd listed, and the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Look at that beautiful picture and example that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in Abel. Abel died a violent death, shedding his own blood. Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, died a very violent death, and shed his own blood. A Christian cannot attain salvation on his own. He cannot attain salvation upon his own. Let's look to Titus chapter 3, verse 5 very quickly. Titus chapter 3. You'll have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then you'll find Titus. So we look to Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and it tells us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost. Wonderful verse of Scripture. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not by our own righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens the day that you meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you ask him to come into your heart to save you. What a wonderful work takes place. What is the start of a Christian? The start of a Christian's life is that he recognizes that he is a sinner. Now, I say that's the start of a Christian's life. A Christian's life, it cannot begin. It does not exist until that individual recognizes that he is a savior or she a sinner and Jesus is the Savior. Or he or she, whichever the case might be, needs to recognize. You need to recognize. I had to come to the point that I recognized I was a sinner. I was lost. I needed a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. The only way that comes is for us to stay in God's Word, in the truth, in his Word. Don't take man's opinion and study some book that's about the Bible. Study the Bible. I ask you that. Please study the Bible. And as you look to the Bible and you study the Bible, you will begin to be convicted of your sin. You look to it and you say, "Well, I can't understand it." No, you can't. Go to the book of John or go to the book of Romans. Go to Acts. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch on his way home from Jerusalem after hearing the word of God. He stopped, had the chariot stopped, and he was sitting there and he was reading Isaiah. And he didn't understand it. And here come Philip, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the Ethiopian said, "How can I unless somebody explain it? Somebody tell me, who is this talking about?" And Philip come up into the chariot and began to explain to him very clearly, by the power of the Holy Spirit, those verses of Scripture. And you know what it says in that text? It says, "And he preached unto him Jesus." He was back in Isaiah. How did he preach unto him the Lord Jesus? Because every word, every verse of this Scripture guides us and brings us to the Lord Jesus. Do you need help today coming to the Lord Jesus? Then here I am to help you. Please recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior. Don't be a Cain, be an Abel. Abel was one that listened to God. He listened to God's Word. He listened to his Father. Please listen today as the Spirit of God calls you to him, draws you to him. Accept him. Do not reject him, please. Please do not reject him. To begin that life, to begin to have real life, you must recognize you're a sinner. And once you recognize you're a sinner, then you'll realize the need of salvation. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. So often children, young children, say they ask the Lord Jesus into their heart. And many times they say this too young, because they don't know they're lost. They don't know they even need a Savior. And so please that you take time, keep your children under the study of the Word of God. Help them to study and to search the Word, and the Holy Spirit will do a work if you carefully and prayerfully present the Word of God to them and show them the Lord Jesus. They will come. Please don't push them, don't force them, because until the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, I don't care what they say, they're not saved. And we don't want to give them a false hope. We want them to have salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 3. And that's so true, that we go about making our own way, our own righteousness. And that's what Cain tried to do. Why don't you just listen to the Word of God and follow the Word of God? Don't follow man. Cain, I don't know who he was following, because there was just Adam and Eve. That's all that was there. He cut his own road, didn't he? He made his own track here, and it's so sad. It's so very sad that Cain made a decision not to listen to the Word of God. He thought he could do it on his own, and so off he went. And we found that it doesn't work that way. You must do it God's way. God had respect for Abel's gift. God had no respect for Cain's gift. Keep that in mind, because probably not today, but the next time we come together, we're going to look at that very word, respect. To have respect, not to have respect. And we're going to see how important that really is. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 8 and verse 9. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. The righteousness of Cain was his own. The righteousness of Abel was found in his faith for the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason he brought that offering, and he brought it in the manner that he brought that offering. Now, as we look at the sixth and seventh verse, we have looked now at the offerings, at what they were, and what's wrong with one and what's right with the other. And again, the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verses 6 and 7. You know, God, he wants Cain to repent. Look at that. The Lord said unto Cain, why are you mad? Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Cain, why are you mad? God's desire for all is to come, and that none would perish. Even though Cain did this terrible act of not believing God, not doing it God's way, God still is out immediately calling him to him. He wants him to repent. Cain's mad. He comes to him and he's, why art thou mad? Why is thy countenance fallen? What's the problem, Cain? What's the matter here? Now let's look to 2 Peter. I want you to look at 2 Peter quickly with me. And we have 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at that wonderful verse of Scripture. Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. But that all should come to repentance. You see, that's how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot say, well, God loves me, and God will not convict me of my sin. God will not send me to hell, because God loves me. What does this say? God's desire is that none perish. Yes. But God's desire is that all come to repentance. And to come to repentance, you have to recognize your sin. You must recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost, and you need to make a turn. You need to reverse. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He wants you to do. That's what God the Father wants you to do. Do not depend on some works that you're doing. Do not depend upon, you say, the love of God. Now, I am depending upon the love of God, but it's the love that was shown to me through His Son, the Lord Jesus, when God set the plan in place that Jesus Christ would come to Calvary, would die there and take all of my sin away. And all I need to do is come by faith to Him. Yes, that's God's love, but I need to come through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get back into fellowship with the Father. To have a relationship with God, I must come through the Son. And so do you. You must come through the Son. Once again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please come to Him. Walk with Him. It's something you do once. When you truly recognize that you're a sinner, and the Holy Spirit has to do that, and has to come through your hearing the Word. So you hear the Word, and you make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those acts, those things take place, then it is a true work of salvation when you trust in Jesus. Because God showed you your sin, you recognized it, and you turned to Him. Repented. You turned. The call is here that all come to repentance. And what a wonderful call. You know, when our attitude changes, God immediately is at work to call us back. Back to fellowship. Back to peace, back to joy. It's so important that we recognize that here in this precious word, that when Cain brought his offering, God had no respect for it. When Abel brought his offering, God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did He have respect unto Abel and to his offering? Because he did it God's way. And we've been through the list of the requirements that we already find so far that have to be met to abide by God's will and way. Cain was disobedient in all. Could there be the death? Could death take place in the offering that Cain brought? No. He brought, let's look back to the third verse, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. So you see that offering could not die. It's a grain. It's fruit. It could not die. Could there be shedding of blood? No. Could it be perfect? Yes. It could have been the most perfect fruit or grain, whichever it was that Cain brought. It could have been perfect. So there's one. So now let's look again here at what we're looking at for the list and for the requirement. It had to be God's plan. No, we're missing there. It had to be an innocent substitute. It wasn't a living. It wasn't living. So it cannot be an innocent substitute unless you want to call this grain or fruit something an innocent substitute. I'll give you that one. Can it be the shedding of blood? No, there can be no shedding of blood here because it's a fruit or grain. Could that be put to death? No. Was it perfect? Maybe. Well, let's see then. I guess that isn't too bad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We hit 1, maybe 2 out of 5. Isn't that good enough? Isn't that good enough? Boy, that's the way the world says it today. Isn't that good enough? Aren't I doing it? Isn't that close enough? I come to church once in a while. I listen to the preachers on television and on the radio. Isn't that enough? It's not enough until you meet your Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear friend, as we look to this Word and as we enjoy this dear Word, this wonderful Word, don't miss what it's telling you. I'm thankful that I didn't miss it. I did much of my life. And then one day, God showed me that I was a sinner. He did it by His Word, and He opened the door for me to come to salvation, and I entered in. Please, that you do that today. Look to the Word. Enjoy the Word. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?